It's September the 1st, 2015. This is 508, a show about Worcester. I'm Mike Benedetti.
Also on the show today is Brendan Mellican.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm okay, Brendan. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
I'm glad to hear it.
Today we're here at the Worcester Common behind Worcester City Hall. And today is our annual How to Vote show, where we will be talking about all the aspects of the election, the city council election, the school committee election, that we haven't talked about so far, the horse race stuff, strategizing around your own vote. We're also going to get into things that the other people on the mainstream media are not going to get into at this point. Are they going to endorse Are they endorsing candidates? Not really. Are they talking about algebra? No, definitely no. We're going to do it. We have the guts to do it, Brendan.
The science behind democracy.
The science behind democracy. The science behind the science. Do you want to talk about voting strategy first, or do you want to talk about endorsements first?
We should probably get the endorsements out of the way, because I think for anyone that's watched the show for more than a year, that should be pretty straightforward at this point.
All right, so we have a preliminary election coming up on
Tuesday,
September 8th,
the day after Labor Day.
This is a day, it's not a primary. We always want to call it a primary. It's a preliminary. The situation is that we've got, what is it, more than twice as many candidates as there are seats?
Yes.
For the District 2 District City Council race and the City Council at-large race. You know, the Worcester City Council, you've got six people who are at-large city councilors. That means everyone in the city votes for those six seats. And then, depending on where you live in the city, there's one of five districts that you live in. You get to vote for one person to be in that district seat.
Right.
So the district races are more like you think of a regular race, like the president, where there's usually two people running and you vote for who you like the most. The city council at-large race, also the school committee race, is what they call plurality at-large voting, where you vote six votes. You can't vote for somebody twice, but you vote for six people that you like the most, and then whoever of all the people running gets the most votes, the top six, get elected.
Right.
And the mayor is a slightly different thing. But yeah, so we got a ton of people running city council at-large and a ton of people running in District 2 this year. So we are having a preliminary election to winnow them down.
To a manageable number.
To a manageable number. And it's kind of interesting because I feel like nobody really does any reliable polling in Worcester elections. So it's always like we sort of wonder how people are doing and then we just find out election day.
You know, one of the things that is interesting about Worcester politics is we actually have some really, really good pollsters that tend to function more so on the state level or if there's contested federal elections locally. And they get paid and tapped on to do that quite a bit. And every once in a while, you will see a poll come up on a local side. There have been a couple done this cycle, but because they don't get a lot of attention, and
are they being done by campaigns or by like paid by some other?
It's usually like a campaign will pay to have one done by somebody that functions on a local level and has a good sense of how to execute a poll with a small voting base like Worcester has.
These are internal polls.
Kind of, but done in with the same sort of methodology that you would expect an actual pollster from, say, Suffolk to do. And there is some interesting data floating around out there that I don't think that would be necessarily surprising to anyone, since these were things that were paid for by campaigns. I don't really want to speak to them, but
so this would be something along the lines of the incumbents are doing well in the polling.
But not necessarily. Yeah, I mean, there's some really interesting stuff floating around.
You're not
going to
talk about this.
No, I'm just going to leave you alone.
All right, we should also mention that Brendan is working on Tina Zlody's campaign for city council at large.
I'm working on it. I'm functioning as her treasurer.
So you are an actual campaign official.
Maybe. Is that?
Political insider, Brendan Mellican.
So just know that. It's not like we're going to be unbiased regards Tina Zlody anyway, but... So, Brendan, who do you want to endorse city council at large? I feel like we should endorse all the challengers.
I tend to agree. I would like to throw in, though, the one, just as an social experiment, I think it would be really fun for folks to write in one incumbent who is not seeking re-election. That's Rick Rushton. I think it would be really great if Rick Rushton could figure out a way to could actually pull off an unintentional comeback and get enough write-in votes from the 508 viewing audience to actually reclaim the at-large seat that he doesn't have any interest in holding.
I'm not sure that, you know, I don't have that much enthusiasm for Rick Rushton. I don't know how I feel about making him the 508 writing candidate, but what the heck.
But I mean, I feel as though you have enough enthusiasm for general gamemanship when it comes to...
I do like the idea of gamesmanship.
Lack of involvement in local elections, and yeah.
Let's say this.
There's a lot of people who watch the show who like you and hate me, or vice versa.
Sure.
I would say if you're one of the many people who watches this show who likes Brendan but hates me, mm-hmm. write in Rick Rushton.
There you go.
And that's how we'll find out.
Yeah.
And we'll never know how many people like me but hate Brendan.
Like
that's
three.
It's okay to not know that. Yeah, probably a lot. So who do we have? Who do we want to endorse running at large? I got my list here. I think this is the list of how, what order people submitted their paper with the city. First one on my list is Christian King. Why should people vote for Christian King?
Well, because he's not an incumbent, primarily. But no, Christian is a solid guy. He made a really good showing in the state rep race that Dan Donahue was successful in. I think he's got a great background in the city, both as being a social worker and a relatively young cat who has a decent sense of the challenges that the city is facing right now. And I think he's done a really good job articulating those challenges.
He's enthusiastic about basketball.
Is he enthusiastic about basketball?
He is enthusiastic about basketball. He's a former basketball player himself, and he does some sort of program involving kids playing basketball. We haven't interviewed him on this show, so we don't know publicly how much he can bench. I'm going to guess more than average.
I'm going to guess more than your average candidate
we'll
at the
see.
Very least.
We'll
I would be interested to see who at their peak could bench press more, Bill Coleman or Christian King.
Well, that's the second person on the list to endorse is William S. Coleman III. I want to endorse Bill Coleman because Bill Coleman is awesome. If you ever see Bill Coleman on the show, he is awesome. You know, the way that I feel like with these elections is you don't need to vote for six of the same person on the city council. If you like Kate Toomey, we don't need six Kate Toomeys on the council. One Kate Toomey and then five other people who have bringing other things. I feel like we need a Bill Coleman on the city council. We don't need six Bill Colemans on the city council. We need one Bill Coleman. Bill Coleman knows a lot. He knows crazy stuff about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there in the community all the time talking to all kinds of people, and he has a huge lifetime max bench press of like 320 pounds or something.
Yeah.
Bill Coleman.
There you go. No, I just, one thing about Bill, I see him a lot downtown when I'm just down like getting lunch or around here at work and whatnot. He's one of the few people seeking public office that I see talking, going out of his way just to talk to people. People that are not hunting down voters, right? Because there's a difference, right? Like the logic for a lot of people campaigning is trying to differentiate between voters and not voters and not wasting your time with the people who can't vote or don't vote. Bill's just someone you see talking to everybody, and I really, really dig that. I think it means a lot to the city when you have prospective elected officials who realize they aren't just representing voters. They're trying to represent the entire city of Worcester.
You know who else you're going to endorse this cycle, Brendan? Is Linda Parham.
I'm going to I would say that the primary reason to endorse Linda Parham right out of the gate is one, she's been very, very active in local politics for quite some time now. But the secondary reason would be when she launched her campaign, her Facebook page had this amazing photograph that still makes no sense to me at all of like, it was like a river basin being flooded with a seemingly unnatural sunlight. And the image just sat there. Didn't say anything, didn't really describe anything, but it kind of blew me away. It was a very profound image. I don't know what it meant or what it relates to, but it was kind of awesome.
I was reading up, we had her on the show years and years ago talking about something. I don't remember what it was. I was looking up at her today. I didn't realize she had a Master's of Divinity degree. We need more MDivs on the city council, people. Vote for Linda Parham.
How many do we have now?
I think none.
All right.
Maybe Sarai has one, I don't know. Tina Zlody's the next one. Brendan, I'm not going to let you push Tina Zlody. I'm going to push Tina Zlody. Tina has lived in Worcester forever, has done a million things in Worcester. The number one thing that she's known as, the marquee Tina Zlody Project, has been Start on the Street, Start at the Station. This amazing, couple times a year, arts and culture festival in the city of Worcester brings tens of thousands of people from outside Worcester. We get a lot of festivals in Worcester. These festivals are particularly amazing because they involve bringing in hundreds of small business owners, hundreds of local artists, you know, dozens and dozens of different kinds of performers, dozens and dozens of food vendors, coordinating all of this, bringing in hundreds of volunteers, coordinating all of this, basically running a small city out of the city of Worcester a couple times a year. It's an amazing thing. We don't have anybody on the city council either who's like super connected to the arts scene. I don't want six arts city councilors, but I want one arts city councilor, Tina Zlody. That's the one.
And her sign colors are pretty rad.
And her sign colors are great. The next one on my list is Juan Gomez. Juan Gomez, former city councilor. I feel like he is basically an incumbent since he was a former city councilor. And we could save time and not endorse him if you want.
There's an argument to be made there, but I think Juan is, at least on the surface, a pretty decent guy. He's always been nice to me, and I believe I told this story before. I was one of the first people that he actually tried pitching his candidacy to the very first time he ran for council, but I wasn't old enough to vote then. I did let him go through a spiel, but then pointed him at my parents' house because those are the people he actually wanted to talk to.
Next on the list is Ron Eau Claire. Ron Auclair, known as somebody who lives down by where the Pip used to be, down in Maine South, has taken a lot of videos of people dealing drugs, a lot of videos of people stumbling around high in the neighborhood. He's gotten some viral traction on these. I feel like we could use somebody in the city council who understands how to make a viral video. Also somebody on the city council who understands what it's like to live in probably the worst block of the city and the kinds of problems that we complain about opiate use or whatever all around the city. Everybody will complain about it. This is a guy who, when he walks out his street, people who are high are like bumping into him as soon as he steps out his door. Yeah. Vote Ron Auclair.
There you go.
Next on the list is Carmen Carmona. We had Carmen on this show. Carmen, I feel like, brings in a tremendous energy, and it was really interesting to hear her ideas for the city, especially because she was thinking outside the box sometimes, talking about how can we use the Green Hill Golf Course to build stronger families in the city of Worcester, talking about, you know, should we have a better strategy for malls and shopping in the city of Worcester. Carmen Carmona, a strong candidate. I'm going to endorse her.
I'm with you.
You're with me. Next on the list is Phil Palmieri, who is currently the District 2 incumbent, and he is not going to run for district. He's running for at-large. Again, an incumbent. Do you want to endorse Phil, or we can skip him because he's
basically
incumbent?
No, I think it's fair to actually, you know, give him a solid change. I mean, you know, it's like just changing speed from going from Congress to running for Senate or something, right? Like, you're still starting from scratch. Phil has put in an immense amount of effort on the west side of the city where he clearly has a lot of name recognition, but might not carry some of the negatives that he carries in the east side of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's gone out of his way to really try and reintroduce himself to the city. Whether or not that messaging sticks, we'll obviously tell, but I think there's some value in having somebody that's gone from a district councilor to an at-large councilor.
I want to endorse Phil, too, just to show you, I'm not going to back down from your challenge. There is nobody that we've been meaner to on this show down through the years than Phil Palmieri. The second person is probably a distant second to Phil Palmieri. And yet, Phil has always been nice to me.
Super nice.
I always like talking to him.
Yeah.
It's always great to talk to him. I look forward to it when I run into him at the bean counter or whatever.
Yeah.
And he cares about the city. He knows all about local politics.
It's kind of a beautiful thing when you realize that you can simultaneously disagree with somebody about just about everything, but really appreciate their dedication and love for the city as well.
I love that so much. That's how I feel about Gary Rosen, too. We're not going to endorse him, but I feel the same way about Gary Rosen. Disagree with him about everything. Love the man to death. George A. Fox III is also on the ballot. I got some ideas about endorsing George Fox.
Endorse George Fox. I really know nothing about him.
Somebody
some articles from 1999.
The 1999 article really opened my eyes that George had been arrested a lot of times on what he felt were somebody basically being vindictive to him. But this is somebody who knows a lot about the dark side of the legal system in Worcester, or maybe the wrong side of the legal system in Worcester. We could use somebody who's had a lot of, like, criminal legal issues on the city council.
You bring up a valid point. Maybe instead of actually having a citizen review board, which seems to be something that's been talked about this year, we just need somebody, an elected official, who has a relatively significant history of law enforcement interactions.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say these are, to my knowledge, these are not serious crimes. This is just a lot of, like, crazy back and forth.
And hearsay, which is kind of the whole point.
Also, at least in 1999, he was excited about building a monorail in Worcester.
Love the idea of building a monorail. I think that would go perfectly with my zipline system.
Next on the list is Matt Wally. Matt Wally, we also had on the show this summer. You want to endorse Matt?
Yeah, and you know, taking a step back from being silly for a second, I don't think there's anybody running for city council this time around that has a better grasp of the needs of housing policy in the city. The conversation that we had with him on the show, I think, was level above where everybody else was in terms of really getting into the weeds on at least the need to have a conversation regarding housing policy.
Yeah.
And simultaneously, I think his economic development ideas were spot on. I have some disagreements in terms of, like we discussed on that show, whether or not our focus should be on small local economy scale or a high-level outside form of economic development. But I think there's room for both conversations on the council, and I think he brings some value to the table in that regard.
Also, the man can, like, bench like 280 pounds or something.
I think
at his max.
He could bench you and I, both hosts of this show combined.
That's amazing. Amazing. Next on the list is Robert Sargent. We didn't have him on the show. Do you want to endorse him? I can also endorse him.
I've only met Rob a few times. It seems like a really genuine guy. Again, who cares deeply about the city. Comes from a family every member of his family has dedicated themselves to public service in some degree. As a teacher, I think he brings something, again, to the conversation we've been having with candidates as what the role of city councilors should be in overseeing the schools. That kind of changes the equation a little bit when you have somebody who is on the city council who actually has classroom experience and doesn't necessarily need to change the way the rules and the charter are set up, but can just speak to that experience intimately.
And we have some retired teachers on the council, but nobody who's... Would he have to retire if he was on the city council?
I believe so. Don't hold me to that one, though.
All right.
Maybe not. I think it might just impact your fundraising ability.
Okay. So that's the city council at large. So who you need to vote for is... You're only going to get 6 votes, but vote for your favorite 6 of these. Christian King, William S. Coleman III, Linda Parham, Tina Zlody, Juan Gomez, Ron O'Clair, Carmen Carmona, Phil Palmieri, George Fox III, Matt Wally, and Robert Sargent. And then in District 2, we got 4 people.
We do.
I don't know that I want to spend a lot of time with them, but we could do a quick... Jonathan Cortez, we had him on the show.
Great guy.
Huge bench also, another dude who can bench well over 200 pounds, even today. A very passionate guy, a guy who ran an almost successful campaign for district council 2 years ago and has been super active in the district since then. So basically like a shadow district councilor, somebody who's ready to just step in the moment he's called. Also in District 2, Larry Shetler. Larry Shetler, as far as I can tell, no internet presence, no presence that's reached out to me, a man of mystery.
The only thing I know about Larry is that he had some comments in one of the mainstream publications in the city regarding, I think it was the Telegram, regarding his positions on economic development, and it was rather stunning to see somebody speaking about the ideas that he had in terms of economic development. It was really the sort of language that you just don't see in Worcester. I would love to meet the guy at some point in time, successful or not, because he seems, again, care deeply about the city and just have some spectacular ideas about moving the city forward from an economic perspective.
One thing I don't do often enough when I'm voting for in an election is voting for people I know nothing about. We need to have somebody on the city council who's going to surprise me. I need to have somebody. You need to have somebody in the city council who will surprise you.
Y'all got any crack?
That's why you should vote for Larry Shetler. All right. Next on the list is Anna Sequeira, who is running from District 2.
We had her on the show. She also had some incredible... The answer is no, we don't have any crack. I don't know why they ran away. They didn't even wait until somebody answered them. But they could have just
I feel like
there.
There's a lot of drugs you could buy out here. Crack seems to me one of your less available drugs,
that
but I don't know.
It's a little passe. Yeah, I mean, get with the time, kids.
I don't want to judge him for that. Anna Sequeira.
Anna had... the thing that really struck me when we had her on the show was her focus on tourism for the city.
Yes.
Again, from an economic development perspective, that's one of those areas that I don't think we think about often enough in Worcester, and we don't give ourselves enough credit for. Mm-hmm. I mean, tourism is one of the primary revenue drivers for the Commonwealth. And there is no reason why Worcester shouldn't be a key component of that. It shouldn't just be the Cape, Boston, and the Berkshires that are making up the lion's share of that revenue stream.
I tell you, I was totally stunned whenever she brought up, like, Worcester needs more tourism on this show. But since then, I've been seeing references to this everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think this is just something I've overlooked, that tourism is actually a big part of what's going on in central Massachusetts.
It is something that I think a lot of people on a very high level are talking about in Worcester. I'm not discounting that at all. I mean, the Chamber is clearly very focused on tourism.
It's just not been in my head.
No, and I think that's kind of what I mean, is that I think for the average person, we do ourselves a disservice in that we don't give the potential draws to Worcester enough credit oftentimes. We focus on our negatives. We almost sell our negatives to the outside world, instead of focusing on our draws.
The last person running for District 2 is Candy Miro Carlson. You want to endorse Candy?
Yeah, I've known Candy for a really long time. I've worked with her and her husband, Joe Carlson, a significant amount through years in politics. Love Candy. I think she'd be great for the district. She knows the district well. She knows the people in the district well. She's been nearly, if not completely, a lifelong resident of the district. You know, I mean, that's one where I think you've got some really interesting ideas over there. Candy would probably win a popularity contest. I don't consider that to be a knock against her, though, because, again, she's been operating on a very high level in politics, Worcester, state, federal level, and I think there is some value there.
So there we go. So that you can only probably, I guess, vote for one person in District 2 race, 2 people on that ballot? I guess one. You have 1 vote in that race.
Yeah.
There's 4 people. Roll the dice. Or just pick Larry Shetler, which is like rolling the dice. Go for it, people. That's what I say. So that's our endorsements. From 508, Worcester's Libertarian Voice. If you trust our judgment, vote that way.
Brendan. If you don't trust our judgment, though, I think one of the things to keep in mind is is the way that people vote in Worcester, right? So you get to select how many? 6 at-large candidates?
Yeah, if we focus on at-large, you get 6 votes.
So 6 votes, right? There's more than 6 we just named off, right? So you got to cut some of these loose, right? And chances are good that not everybody watching the show is going to take 100% of our advice and only endorse incumbents or non-incumbents. The thing to keep in mind is that you don't actually have to vote for six people, right? You can do what's called bulleting a ballot.
Right.
And that's actually a really important strategy when you in a system like Worcester has, where we run nonpartisan elections, where it's very difficult, if not impossible, to organize slates and really convince voters to vote for this group of people as essentially one vote. We don't really do that in Worcester. And what's funny is if you look at historical voter turnout tallies, what you oftentimes see are these handful of people, we won't name them, that end up getting astronomical levels of votes. But then you talk around and you ask around and people really can never figure out, like, how does this person get to be so popular? Why do they get so many votes? Well, really all that comes down to is those people tend to be everybody's last vote, right? Like, so people look over that list, they say, I really care about this person, love this person, this came to my door, this person represents everything I believe in, this person just has a great smile, and then there's this last vote you don't really know what to do with, so people scan the list and they look for the name that they recognize and they tick that off. Those people that end up with the highest tally of votes oftentimes end up being everybody's last vote. You're not really doing yourself or anybody else a service if you're trying to make a statement, especially in a year like this where you have a lot of options, if you're trying to just fill out six potential votes. Vote for one person. Vote for two people. Vote for three. Vote for five people. Don't vote for six people unless you really, really care about all of those six people. Because at the end of the day, the incumbents are the ones that are going to get the lion's share of votes, and the math is in their favor because they have the name recognition. If you don't really care about an incumbent, don't make them your sixth vote.
All right, well, I'm going to directly contradict what Brendan just said now, because I've been reading up about game theory. Game theory is a branch of mathematics, and I've been especially reading up about what game theory says about elections and what it says about an election like this city council at-large election. They call it a plurality at-large voting. You got six seats, you got a ton of candidates, you got six ballots per person, whatever candidates get the most votes, those six people get in. I wrote this article. I'm gonna just read from this article in part, just to give you a sense of what the strategies that mathematically would be here. If there's candidates you like, but you're not sure what kind of chance they have, you don't really know the lay of the land. Don't worry about strategy. Just vote for who you like. Vote for the candidates that you like. If you don't know much about the election, but someone you trust wants you to join a larger group in voting for a slate of candidates, you should do it. It's called block voting. It's a great way to win elections. All the literature about voting strategy and game theory says that block voting is a great way to win elections. And the thing is, even if you don't know anything about these candidates,
right,
the fact that somebody who you respect asked you to vote for them means that probably you would like these candidates, and that probably this person is asking a ton of other people, so there's actually a chance of the person getting in. And that's a good combination. You liking someone and them having a chance, that's a good combination. If you know something about the mood of the electorate and the candidates and you want to make up your own mind, if you want to be a maverick here, you can use something called the Meyerson-Weber strategy, which puts the decision in mathematical terms. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to calculate what you call a prospective rating for each candidate. You're basically going to give them a number. And the six candidates that you have given the highest six numbers to are the six people that you're going to vote for. So what you do is you take a candidate, and to find out the rating for candidate A, you say, how much more do I like this candidate than candidate B? Or less. Give them a negative number. Then you say, how likely are these two to tie? That's the interesting number that they bring up, is it's about the percentage of them tying. And obviously the percentage chance of two people tying is very low. But you multiply those together. They call that the pivot probability. So you multiply candidate A, how much do I like them more? Take that number, multiply that by the percentage chance that they are to tie. Then you go to candidate A, candidate C, candidate A, candidate D. You make all those comparisons, you take all those combinations of multiplying those two numbers together for each pair, you add all that up, and that's A's score. Then you got to do that for all the other combinations. But what you get then is a number which basically represents a combination of how much more do I like this candidate than all the other candidates, and what kind of chance do I think they actually have? So if you like someone a huge, huge amount and they don't have a great chance, then maybe you would want to vote for them. But honestly, you really better like them way, way more than other people. Otherwise, you're probably more likely to do better voting for people who you don't like that much, but you do like, but who also have a great chance of winning. This is all in terms of maximizing your own expected satisfaction with the outcome. Sometimes you might want to send a message. This doesn't address sending a message where you might say, I'm only going to vote for one person because only Larry Shetler is good. All the other ones are so bad, I'm only going to vote for one person and leave all my other ones blank. I'm going to send a message. I am into sending a message, partially because I have a cable access show, so people know what the messages I'm sending because I am saying it to people, and people who are in politics in Worcester watch the show. I feel like the average person, nobody's going to know what that means, that you only voted one vote. So something to think twice about, just because you, and I've been talking to mathematicians about whether this is true, and I think it is. Like, you have like six, you have like six opportunities to get your preference into the mix here. If you're going to leave one blank, you're only doing 5/6 of your influence.
Sure.
So, like...
Absolutely. But you also have to remember, too, that this is a preliminary. So what we're trying to do is strengthen the odds that people that you actually want to see contest in the general make it through the preliminary. So this the math, I think, is a little bit different than a general election with a higher turnout, which right. still ends up being low in Worcester, and where the stakes are a little bit higher. But you can't even get to that point unless you make it through the preliminary. And the best way to do that is to bullet people. And I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you just said, but all I could think of while you were explaining that math, which seems perfect, I see no flaws with it whatsoever, is that throughout the years, you and I have discussed a lot of things that either you're really passionate about, I'm really passionate about, but both of us could probably agree. They put a lot of people to sleep, and that's probably why cable access puts us on late night, is to help mm-hmm. the insomniacs of Worcester. I actually had a hard time staying awake while you were explaining that to me, and I don't mean that to be insulting at all, but... The reality is that the Worcester, the pool of potential candidates in Worcester, in conjunction with the limited pool of voters, there isn't a lot of room to play here. And if you like the city council the way it is now, you know what to do. You know who those names are and who you should be supporting. If you think it's time to actually mix things up a little bit, pick somebody that isn't currently a councilor, bullet them, and then go home. Because what you asked for is a lot of thought. It involved a lot of, like, you could really think this through. And I think when it comes to voting, that's the part that you're doing wrong, is that you're actually asking people and expecting people to be putting a lot of thought into this. After spending, half hour, 45 minutes in the morning, probably in the rain, waiting to get into a room just to go hang out with a bunch of people that you only see every other year to do your civic duty and vote, wondering to yourself why everybody else is already at work, warm, drinking coffee and whatnot. The last thing that you're going to do is pull out your cheat sheet of all of your math to get through the six potential votes. Save yourself the trouble of six potential votes. Vote for one person that you really care passionately about.
I got two things to point out. Yep. One is that I'm once again representing the Hoffman for President shirt today. Yep. If you feel like you need to do a write-in to be snarky, Rick Rushton is an option. Yep. I'm not going to endorse Abby Hoffman. I'm just going to say Abby Hoffman would be a hilarious write-in and very appropriate as a Worcester native.
Yeah.
And actually, it would be fun to have Abby Hoffman on the city council if he wasn't dead. Second of all, I was just talking about the chances of two people tying is pretty low. In Worcester elections, it's actually not that low. There are a lot of elections in the city which are separated by...
A handful of votes,
20 votes, 100 votes.
Especially this year, right? I mean, with this many candidates, this late of a Labor Day, and an election right after Labor Day, there's a very good possibility people are going to wake up Tuesday morning, having just come back from vacation, pick up the Telegram, be told in the masthead of the Telegram or on Facebook that it's election day, and that's going to be the first that they've given any thought to the election cycle. There are other people that get really into the weeds in this stuff, get really excited about campaign seasons as soon as they kick off, and we've been talking about this stuff as people were handing in their papers back in the spring. Not everybody thinks that way, and there's nothing wrong with that, because people have lives, and there are more important things to think about, oftentimes, than who you're going to vote for months down the road. This has been like a really sleeper sort of cycle, and that's again where it gets dangerous for newcomers, especially in a year where it seems like there's a lot of call for newcomers.
Well, I want to say I've been looking a lot at these numbers and trying different mathematical examples of what is the chance that there would actually be a tie in a statewide race in a state with 30 million people or whatever. I think in the city of Worcester, my gut is telling me the chances of there being a tie is something like 1 out of 100 elections, or maybe 1 out of 1,000 elections, or 1 out of 10,000 elections. That's still way better than playing the lottery.
May as well be this one. Yeah.
And what you would win is you would win your choice of a city council candidate right. for the time it takes to go down and vote, and you have a better chance of then winning a lottery ticket. I say you should do it. Brendan, what do you think is the most interesting aspect of the election this year?
The most interesting aspect of the election? Well, actually, I think it's been how the...